is the prayer of Jabez. I don't know if you can remember, some years ago, a man by the name of Dr. Bruce Wilkinson came out with a book and entitled it The Prayer of Jabez. You saw all sorts of trinkets and things to that nature representing the prayer of Jabez. And here's what Dr. Wilkinson shared whenever he was writing the book. He said, outside of the prayer of salvation, there is no prayer that has affected my life in my living more than the prayer of Jabez. Now that is saying a mouthful. When you think about all the other prayers that are mentioned in Scripture, he said in his own life, he had noticed that no prayer had impacted his life outside of salvation like the prayer of Jabez. And the truth about it is, this prayer is a powerful prayer because you're really asking for God's hand to be with you. So if you'll turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, let's listen and read the prayer once again. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. That's his first request. Enlarge my coast. Second request. And that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, what is so sobering about the prayer of Jabez is this. If you read the prayer of Jabez, and if you read what is happening in the times of Jabez, people are living, they're having children, and the Bible just reports so-and-so had so many children, named them sons and so forth, and then they died. And on and on and on the stories go, time after time, in Chronicles. But when it comes to chapter 4, the Bible as though just stops, Ezra stops, and as though in midstream, he says, I want to tell you about a man by the name of Jabez. Two verses alone are all that's mentioned about Jabez. You've heard me say it. It's here, and then he's gone from the pages of history. You'll never read him again. But the Bible says that Jabez prayed a simple prayer, and in that simple prayer, at the end of his request, God granted him that which he requested. Now, wouldn't you love to know that if you prayed, God would grant your request? Well, we've been walking through this, and we've been taking it section by section. You remember I shared with you that Jabez, the very definition of it, means painful one. In other words, his mother gave him the name Pain. Don't know about how he was born and all that, but still yet he had the name Pain. And, you know, in his life, no telling what he had to contend with because of that name. But I shared with you for the last few weeks just some important principles, because one of the things that Jabez wanted in life, he didn't want to settle. He didn't want to settle for what just life had to offer. Let me ask you a question. Are you the type of person that wants to settle? Dr. Charles Stanley, in one of his latest books that he wrote, shared that one night he was in bed and just this voice awakened him. And this voice simply said, and it was the voice of the Lord. He said, I know I'd heard from the Lord. Do you want to reach your full potential, or do you want to settle? And he said, that impacted my life in such a way. As a matter of fact, he even wrote a book with that title, Reaching Your Full Potential for the Lord. But Jabez was a man who didn't want to settle. But sadly, there are so many people who live a life settling because they don't know what's involved in having the fullness of the life that God purposed for them. And when you read the life of Jabez, one of the things you find, he didn't let the past determine his destiny. He didn't let his family dictate his future. You know, he didn't let all the things in life deter him from what God had in store. And then he makes some requests of God. Now, in his day, like in so many days, there was a lot of belief and a lot of gods. But the Bible says that Jabez prayed to the Lord God. In other words, he knew that there was a God in heaven, and he knew he was a personal God. And I've shared with you to this point about each request. He prayed, Lord, that you would bless me. Now, I want to ask you this question. I want you to listen. Do you really believe that if you will ask God to bless you and to touch your life and to touch your family, he will do that? It is amazing how often we act like God is not concerned. He's not the least bit interested in us until we get to heaven. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. So I want you to get a pencil and a piece of paper out, because I want to look at another phrase tonight. And it's the phrase that says, that thine hand might be with me. Now you remember he prayed for God to bless him. He said, Lord, bless me. And the word bless means supernaturally favor me. Lord, would you supernaturally favor me? What do you think God would do if you asked that of him? Lord, would you supernaturally favor me and favor the place where I work? In this world, in this economy that we're in, I'm telling you this, people who are believers need to pray for their places of business. Amen? What do you think God would do if you prayed, Lord, would you bless us? Would you favor us? Put your hand upon us. Listen, our God has an endless string of blessings. You think about it for a moment, and you just think about some of you have raised garden for years, and if I ask some of you who've raised garden for years, how many, if I ask Jan Rose how many tomatoes she's raised, how much corn, how many green beans lost, she wouldn't know how to count like so many others. Why? Because God has put bounty in the earth. He has put abundance because that's who he is. Now think about it for a moment. If God will do that in the earth, what will he do in your life and my life if we are serious about asking, praying, and believing? And so he asked the Lord to bless him. Then he asked the Lord to enlarge his coast. Listen, there is nothing wrong with asking God to give you more so you could be honoring to him. It's nothing wrong with asking God to make you a larger blessing in your sphere of influence, in your business, or where you're working. Jabez did not want to die a mediocre life. Why do I emphasize that and say that and with such heart? Because God don't want you to settle. One thing that breaks the heart of God is so many believers just live a settled life. So many young people don't have any dreams. They're just trying to live sort of on the fumes of dreams, so to speak. They don't have any dreams of wanting God to use their life in a great way. Listen, I tell you this, if you're a young person and you say, Lord God, would you bless me, enlarge my coast, and I want to be wherever you want me to be, I ask you to bless, you watch what God does with your life. Why? Because he is a serious God. And that's exactly what Jabez prayed. Lord, bless me. Put your hand of touch. And then he prayed that you would enlarge my coast, that you would give me more so that I could honor you. Listen, this fellowship is a good example. Years ago, we were in a smaller facility and had smaller number, and that was good. But you know what's better than having a smaller number and a smaller facility where you have more people to love and to be loved by and to impact more people with the gospel of Christ? Amen? You know, to hear the word. Well, in this third prayer, in this third part, he says, Lord, I pray that your hand might be with me. Now, Jabez called on the Lord, the Bible says, and he said, Lord, I ask you that your hand might be with me. Now, before I get into these principles, I want you to watch something for a moment. As I walk over here, now, as I stand beside Don, if I put my hand upon him, and if I stand here for a period of time, he is aware of my presence. He's aware of my hand. He's aware that I'm standing close beside him. That's one thing that he knows. Now, think about it for a moment. I want you to jot these down. When you and I are asking for God's hand to be with us, what are we asking? Because you don't need to pray without knowing what you're praying for. Lord, I ask that your hand would be on me. Number one, jot it down. It is asking specifically for the power of God upon life's endeavors. You are asking for the power of God upon your life's endeavors. Think about it for a moment. Joseph realized that the God in heaven was a personal God. He realized that the God in heaven was a caring God. And, you know, he acknowledged that he was a supernatural God, and he was a God who cared, and he was a God that was concerned. And so the Bible says that Jabez believed in God and he called on God. He lived in the presence of God. And Jabez said, Lord, I just ask that your hand, that there would be an awareness that your power would be upon my life. Man, I don't know about you, but I need the power of God each and every day of my life to resist struggles of life, to handle all the different avenues, temptations, whatever they may be, to deal with the problems and the things that come in life. And Jabez made it his business. Listen, no doubt he could recall stories like I shared this morning, the story of Joseph. Do you realize that the Bible says God blessed the house of Joseph or house of Potiphar for Joseph's sake? Do you really believe that God would bless where you're working just because you're there? Jabez asked that the hand of the Lord would be on him, and that really meant that the power of God would be evident. Listen, here's the reality. God hasn't changed. He wants you to know that He will do for you, He will do for me, what we ask, faith believing, that as long as it brings honor and glory to God. Lord, I pray that your hand would be on me. You know what that means? The supernatural, almighty hand of God is upon you in the endeavors that you undertake. You have an awareness of His presence. You have an awareness of His power. And you know what? Here's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. When you live right before God, there is a power that emanates through your life, which is the power of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when nobody is chasing them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, Joseph didn't cringe in his life because he knew he was following the Lord. Jabez said, Lord, I pray that your hand would be with me. Listen, what emanates from the hand of God? What emanates from the very hand of God? His power. Now, here's where we have a problem. We're human beings, and you look at my hand, and mine's a human hand. You raise your hand, your hand's a human hand. God's hand is not a human hand. God's hand is the supernatural, almighty hand of power. And so what He wants you and me to do is this. Jabez said, Lord, please, that you would touch me, that you would touch. Now, Jabez, what do you understand exactly what you're praying? No, but I can guarantee you this, that when God touched his life, he knew it. And other people knew it. As a matter of fact, Ezra, who wrote the Chronicles, said it was evident that he was more honorable than his brothers. In what way? It was just evident that he was a man who walked with God. And you see, the thing about it is, in our day and time, one of the problems is we just don't pray. Don't see any need of praying. You know, is it really got that bad that we have to pray? Isn't it sad some of our mindsets about prayer? What do you think that you have never received because you've never asked? And so the Bible says, Jabez prayed. He said, Lord, that you would bless me. And it's asking for the power of God upon life's endeavors. And secondly, when you're asking for the hand of God in your life, you're asking for the directions of God. Now think about this for a moment, because that's exactly what the word means. When you're asking for the hand of God, you're asking for the directions of God. For example, if my hand was on Don and Don said, well, I don't know how to get to the fellowship hall, and I put my hand upon his shoulders and I guided him, he would just have to go the direction my hand led him. Now, here's the reality. When Jabez asked for the hand of God to be with him, it meant that he was asking for the directions of God. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. One of the things that Jabez knew was this. If I'm going to have the hand of God upon my life, and if I'm going to ask for the directions of God upon my life, then I've got to be willing to listen to the directions of God in my life. Amen? I want to say that one more time. If I'm going to ask for the directions, I've got to be willing to listen to the directions of God upon my life. Now, I've been in this long enough, and I've pastored long enough that I can tell you this, and without any shadow of a doubt or hesitation or reservation. Many believers, many Christians get their lives in miserable wrecks, not because they don't know any better, not because they one day want to make a bad decision. They just don't listen to the directions of God. You see, here's the thing about it. Every one of us have some degree of knowledge of the Word of God, and we're to operate on what we know. And you see, if there's one problem in the world when it comes to our lives, and it's bad decision making. Why does a couple get in financial trouble? Bad decision making. Why does a couple, it was all right for them to marry and there was nothing wrong. They didn't do anything wrong, but maybe they just rushed things up, married prematurely, and they got all things in a mess because they didn't ask for the Lord's direction. They didn't listen to God. You and I are created with ears to listen to God. Do you realize from the very beginning of Genesis to the end of the Revelation, God is always speaking to mankind? He is telling them and telling mankind what to do. And one of the things that Jabez asked is, Lord, I want to listen to you. I want to follow your directions. Well, think about it. And I want to say this especially to husbands and to men, especially all of us. Husbands, if you ask for the directions of God in your family and you listen to the directions of God, how are you going to go wrong? How are you going to make a mistake if you listen to God? You say, well, what if God's directions differ from my spouse's directions? Then you've got a problem. You see, here's what we do. God gives us a directive, and maybe our spouse gives us another suggestion. Who are we going to listen to? Who do we oftentimes listen to? You know the answer to that question without me having to ask you to give me an audible answer. And Jabez said, Lord, I'm asking for your direction. Jabez was saying, Lord, when you give me your direction, I'll follow it. And you see, you can't go wrong as a husband. You can't go wrong as a wife. You can't go wrong as a young person if you say, Lord, I'm going to listen to your direction. And, you know, here's the sobering reality, though. You know, we make decisions. And here's what happens. We make decisions out of God's timing, out of God's will. And then we want to ask God to get us out of the mess we put ourselves in. We said, Lord, would you help us? Why did you do this? God didn't do it. Jabez said, Lord, that your hand, that your directions would be with me. But that means I'm going to listen to you. And so what that means is I've got to be willing to allow the Lord to direct my life, you know, speak to my life. And I'm going to go do what he says. If he gives me a directive that I don't really like, I'm going to take it. And I can tell you in my own life, I've received some directives from the Lord that I didn't like, understand, or comprehend. My first pastorate, God called me to resign with no place to go. I'd been there for about 4 years and, maybe 3 or 4 months. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'll resign. Now, where's the next place? He didn't tell me. But he told me to resign. Was I going to listen to God, or was I going to do something else? And same happened in the second pastorate that I was in. I'd been there for 2 years and some odd months, and I thought, now, Lord, you know, most preachers that I talk to, they have some place to go. But you see, here's what Jabez said. Lord, I pray that your hand would be on me, and if you guide me in a way that I don't understand, I'm going to go that way. I never will forget what I heard Charles Stanley say probably about 20 years ago in listening to him one Sunday night and in a particular time in my own life. And he said he never will forget the advice of his grandfather. And he said to him, he said, I only spent a week with my grandfather, but that week changed my life. And he said, Charles, if God ever tells you to run through a brick wall, you run through that brick wall straight ahead, full steam. You know, he said, what I understood my grandpa to say, he said, you obey God and you trust God with your obedience, and you leave the results and consequences. You let God open the door when the right time comes, or let him open the brick wall, whatever comes first. Now, that don't sound logical, but that's why we get our lives all messed up. That's why we have all sorts of struggles. And you see, here's the reality. Jabez walked day by day with a deep awareness of God. How do you know that? Because, listen, if I had my hand on your shoulders all throughout this service, you'd know that I was standing beside you. And here's what Jabez prayed, Lord, that your hand would be on me. Listen, don't you think that's going to affect how you deal publicly, privately? Don't you think that's going to affect what you say? I'll give you an example. It's just about 30 minutes old. I was coming to church tonight, and there was a blessed man right in front of me. And he was turning right, I thought, his RV and his car. And about the time he was getting ready to stop, I was right behind him. He decided he wanted to turn left, probably go to Cracker Barrel. Cut across two lanes and didn't look, didn't wave, didn't do anything. And about that time he did that, I thought, oomph. Now, you said, what did you call him, Pastor? What did you say to him? I didn't blow my horn. And I thought, those are the heat moments we get into. Because here's the thing about it. Don't you think God sees you privately? It's amazing. Oftentimes we act like God doesn't see through walls or see through buildings. You know, we sort of turn the lights down and we do that. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people who name the name of Christ. It's amazing what Christians do, what born-again believers do. I've even heard what preachers do. I never will forget hearing a singing group share with me that is going someplace singing, and the ushers, trustees, or whoever was taking up the money in the back went to a certain room, and they counted all the money. The pastor was in there, and here's what the pastor said. All the love offering was supposed to go to the singing group, but here's what the pastor said. Sift all the big bills and give them the ones. Cheating is cheating is cheating. Amen? Our God, our Father, listen, when you live with His hand upon your life, it is going to impact absolutely everything you do. Young people, it's going to impact how you act. And you know what? There's going to be some people that are going to call you square, but let me tell you this. They're going to come to you when it comes their time of trouble and their time of difficulty. Because they're going to want to go to somebody who has some answers for some of the things in life. And here's the reality. Jabez said, Lord, your hand be on me. In other words, you give me your direction, and I'm going to listen. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want to give you an assignment right here and right now. When God gives you a direction, are you willing to say, yes, Lord, or do you want to debate with Him? You see, God doesn't give commands for debate. He doesn't give directions for debate. You know, this morning, sometimes Charlotte will say something to me and she thinks that I don't see it. And maybe sometimes I don't. And not too long ago, she saw something that I didn't see and she just hollered out the word dear. You know, I thought that was a term of affection. I thought she just wanted to tell me how much she loved me. Well, that wasn't the case. There was a deer that I didn't see that she saw. It was sort of right on the edge. Now listen. If I'd said, now, let's not get too excited. You know, you just don't say anything. And trust me. Listen, our God knows that sometimes if we're not listening, we can mess up our life. Not because we may want to, but He knows our life. He knows all the dangers and the pitfalls. And so Jabez said, Lord, I'll listen to You. I'll follow Your direction. What would happen in your life if you said, Lord, I'm going to listen to You. Lord, I'm going to follow Your direction. Lord, that Your hand would be with me. And listen, when God's hand is with you, there is something mysterious, marvelous, and wonderful that happens to you. You have a boldness that you can't comprehend. Why? Because there is that supernatural flow of the hand of God through your life. Listen, people can say what they want, but you just find you're bold because that's the way God has desired for us to be when we're obedient. So second of all, you know, when we ask for, you know, when we're praying, Lord, that Your hand would be with me, we're asking for the direction of God. And that means we're willing to follow. Now, if God doesn't seem like He's blessing your life, if it seems as though the blessings are drying up, I just want to ask you this one question. When God gives you a directive, are you obedient? When God gives you a command, are you going to take it? Are you going to do it? The average person does not. And sadly, the average Christian wants to debate. Let me give you an example. How many of you know the verse of Scripture that says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is? How many of you know that's in the Bible? Raise your hand. All right. So that means that we're to congregate. We're to come together like this for a fellowship, edification, and teaching. Well, some people know that. Some Christians know that tonight. But, you know, it's just not a big deal. So that means, second of all, listening to the directions of God. And third, it's asking for God to touch with His holy and mighty hand our lives. Now, since Jabez asked for the holy hand of God and lived with an awareness of God, do you know God touched those things that belong to Jabez? I wish I could completely explain to you what it means for God to touch. But let me just give you an example out of Scripture. When the children of Israel were going through the wilderness and they were on their journey to the promised land, each one of them had 5 changes of shoes, didn't they? No, they didn't have 5 changes of shoes. They had 1 pair of shoes. They didn't have time to make new shoes. And they walked 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 and they walked. And their shoes lasted how long? Does anybody know how long the shoes lasted, Jan? 40 years. Ladies, what would you do if you had a pair of shoes? It lasted, well, it'd knock out some shopping, I know. But listen, God touched their possessions. He touched it with longevity. He touched it with a blessing. And when you look in Jabez's life, he said, Lord, that you would bless me, that you would keep your hand upon me. And you see, God caused the children of Israel to be blessed. And when God touches your possessions, by the way, he don't just lightly touch. How can a holy, supernatural, all-powerful, almighty God lightly do anything? He is the supernatural God of the universe. He has all power. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, listen to what he said, all power has been given to me. Notice he didn't say some power, most of the power, all power is given to me. Now think about it. When God touches our possessions, there's blessings attached. When God touches, you know, our land, maybe it's a garden or whatever it is, there's produce. Now, I can't say this happens every time, but I want to give every one of you a challenge if you raise a garden. We buy a lot of stuff and we put it out. Have you ever thought about whenever you put your garden out, stand at the end of your garden, bow your head and say, Father, I thank you for this garden that you've allowed me to put out. Now I'm giving it back to you and I ask you to touch it in a way that only you can. You say, well, now, you know, if you don't work it out, and yes, that's exactly right. Now, you can't pray and go in the house and be lazy and say, well, I don't know what happened to the weeds. The weeds just kept coming on up. God didn't. No, God's not going to get the tiller out for you, and God's not going to weed it for you. I mean, you've got to get the hoe out and get the tiller out and get all those other things. And here's the point. God does touch the soil. Who created all that there is? God. And you see, in the life of Jabez, property has a way of producing better because it's touched by God. Listen, do you realize that increase is a part of the nature of God? Turn to Deuteronomy for a moment, 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want you to look at just a couple of passages of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want you to look in verses 3 and following. It says, if you listen to the Lord, do what he says, observe and do all of his commandments. Look at what happened in verse 2. All these blessings shall come on thee. Then he names them. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city. In other words, that means supernaturally favored. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Do you see what God is saying? I'll increase you. I'll increase you, and I'll increase you, and I'll increase you, and I'll increase you. Why? Because our God is a God of increase. Amen? Look at the world's population. How many did it start out with? 2. Does anybody know how many is in the world? About 7 billion people on planet Earth. Our God is a God of increase. Now think about it for a moment. If you believe that God is a God of increase, and he is, if you believe that God will bless you, and he does if you walk in obedience, why would you not even think about praying, Lord, put your hand upon me. Put your hand upon my possessions. Put your hand upon all that I have that I could bring glory to you. Listen, and you know, Lord makes it very clear that everything is his, the earth is his, and all the fullness thereof, and he's entrusted us. You know, what's better than honoring God with a tithe of $100? Honoring God with a tithe of 200 and 300 and 400. Now, am I saying, you know, that God is about riches and getting rich? No, but I'm telling you this. You look at the wealthiest men in the Bible, and they were men of God. You look at Abraham. He was a man after God's own heart. He followed God. He was the friend of God, the Bible says. You look at Solomon. You look at David. And Jabez knew that. Jabez knew that his God was not some insignificant deity. His God was a supernatural God. And that's what God wants you and me to understand. Listen, the truth is God's not changed. But here's what God does. God doesn't bless what's not prayed. Let me give you an example. Suppose you raise a garden for a number of years in your life, and all of a sudden the next year or so you don't even get the garden equipment out, you don't go buy any seed or don't buy any fertilizer, don't buy any plants. What's the garden going to produce? Nothing. Because you've not planted. And here's the reality. A lot of people aren't planting when it comes to praying. They're not sowing when it comes to asking and seeking and finding. They're not asking, Lord, that you would bless me. I would dare say that I'm in my sixth message on the prayer of Jabez. I would dare say that probably half or less than half of you are praying the prayer of Jabez. If I was asking you to raise your hand, I said, how many of you are praying the prayer of Jabez? I'm not asking to raise your hand, but if I was a wagering person, now I'm not trying to get on you, but I'm just trying to tell you this. God loves to bless, but God don't bless what's not asked. And Jabez didn't want to die an unblessed life. So many have such a wicked belief and a silly belief, even at that, that, well, you know, God will give me whatever He wants me to have. That's what God will give me. You find that in the Bible and I'll believe it. You show that to me in Scripture and I'll believe it. It's not there. The Bible says, and God granted. I love that. God granted. Is it asking wrong to ask the Lord to put His hand on it? Evidently not. Because God said, yes, I'll do it for you, Jabez. Is it wrong to ask God to bless you? Evidently not, because God said, yes, I'll bless you, Jabez. Is it wrong to ask God to enlarge your coast? Absolutely not, or God wouldn't have done it. But you see, here's what Jabez did. It wasn't just a one prayer. It wasn't just twice. But he said, Lord, that your hand would be with me. Now let me ask you this in closing. Are you believing God will do for you if you'll pray it? And the thing about it is, it's interesting that Jabez, it's not mentioned how old he was. It don't mention how much education he had or didn't have. Nothing like that is mentioned. Because I'm sure that somebody would say, well, Jabez was this and Jabez was that. This is just one prayer by one man who meant business with God. And the end of the story is that God did grant what he requested. If you're not praying this, God sure can't answer it. God never just reads your mind and gives you what's on your mind. He gives you and me directive. Ask, ask, and you shall receive. Seek. And you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. I want to challenge all of us, absolutely every one of us, if you've not begun praying this prayer, to start it. You say, well, I halfway believe it. Then pray it anyway, and let God guide you. Wouldn't it be awesome to watch? You say, well, I'm an older person. Look at Moses' life. Look at his assignment at the age of 80 to lead the children of Israel. Your life's not over. It could be in the economy of God. It's just begun. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for speaking to us through your truths and for the life of Jabez. Thank you, Father, for these truths and principles. He prayed, he asked, he believed, and he received. Father, I pray that you would bless us. Bless us even more. Enlarge our coast as your people. Lord, that your hand would be upon us in everything we consider to do. And Father, keep evil from us and keep us from evil. That, Lord, this body of believers, this body of Christ, would not grieve you. Thank you, Father, and draw whom you would during this invitation. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.